Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today from Matthew, the 9th chapter, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Dear friends of Christ, do you notice anything different this morning? Of course, the difference is we're wearing green. There's green on the altar, and of course, it is the season of Pentecost. It's the second half of the church year. In the first half of the church year, we talk about Jesus. That's our focus. In the second half of the church year, we talk about our growing in Christ. It's about us and our life in Jesus. And so when you see green, I want you to think living and growing, like a plant, living and growing. Well, our text this morning clarifies a little bit how we do that as believers. We recline at the table with Jesus. We eat his body, we drink his blood. As Jesus reclined at the table, many tax collectors and sinners were there with him. It was an interesting mix at that dinner table. You usually don't have at your dinner table a mixture of those type of people. Sinners, tax collectors. Jesus is eating with the wayward, with the lost, with the outcast, with the downtrodden. These people, their lives were steeped in sin. Today, you might say they were loaded with tattoos and had, nose rings and earrings, and they looked like the culture, they looked like the world, and they didn't even know it. They didn't know they were broken. They didn't know they were lost. But Jesus ate with them. Our theme: who is invited to dinner? The concept of table fellowship is an important biblical truth. We find it from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the end, especially in regard to Holy Communion, which we'll get to later. If you choose to eat with somebody, it's because you have something in common with them. Usually it's family. If it's not family, it's friendship. And if it's not friendship, it's usually some kind of movement that we're supporting together. Who are you eating with? And the Bible calls it fellowship. Fellowship. Koinonia in Greek. It means that you share something. And as Christians, we share the faith. We share Jesus. We share salvation. It's what we share. It's what we have in common. And so we have fellowship with others who believe the same way. And it isn't just a fellowship, it's a binding together in Christ Jesus as one body, the body of Christ, the church, are in saving fellowship. And everybody in that church is in fellowship with one another. Who people invite to dinner has always been an issue from the beginning of time. In Genesis, we learn Egyptians could not eat with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. An abomination. So you've got a Jew at your table. Not today. Now that's some kind of table fellowship. That's one kind. The Jews had another kind of table. They also had an issue with table fellowship. Unbelievers and the circumcised were not invited to the Passover meal. God said it. This is the statute of the Passover. And again, the Passover eventually became the Lord's Supper, so we can see a parallel here. This is the statute of the Passover. No foreigner should eat of it. No foreigner or hired worker may eat of it. It's table fellowship. Eating and drinking, the Passover was all about it. If you were a member of God's people, you were invited. If you are not a member, a child of God, if you're not a child of God, you're not invited. We say, well, that's not right. But that's the way it was. And that's really the way it is at your table, too. Table fellowship. And then the Bible also says, and if somebody of the body of Christ is cut off, they live in sin, unrepentant, or they quit believing in the faith and they cut themselves off because they don't believe anymore, they're not allowed to the Passover. They're cut off. Even if it's a family member, even if it's one of your children. Table fellowship isn't a strange concept. As a child, were you ever sent to bed without food, without a meal? Were you ever that naughty? It used to be a punishment. Of course, why that kind of punishment? Were your parents trying to, starve you to death? Was that the intent of going to bed without food? No, the intent was the type of behavior that you showed, you don't get to share fellowship with the family tonight. There's temporary exclusion for behaving that way. And so you go to bed tonight without a meal. You go to bed tonight without family fellowship. Now, when we get to heaven, we're going to have a huge feast. There's going to be a banquet, and I need you to know everybody's going to be there. All the people in heaven are going to be there. Nobody's excluded. And everybody who is there will have come from earth where we were sinners and we were broken and we were wicked and we were evil, and all of us had broken the Ten Commandments. And yet being cleansed by the blood of Christ, being risen from our graves by the voice of our Lord, we then in our new bodies stand on that new earth, and the first order of business is a banquet of table fellowship. And we will eat and we will feast on sumptuous food, and all are invited. But the unbelievers won't be there. They won't be invited. They'll be separated. They'll be in hell. One day we're going to have eternal fellowship with others, with each other. Everyone in heaven will be invited and no one will be left out. Why? Because all the unbelievers, all the lost, all the unforgiven sinners aren't with us. No dinner fellowship for all eternity. My friends, that's why today is a day. That's why now is a time to invite. That's why now is the time Jesus was sitting with sinners and tax collectors who didn't know they were broken, who didn't think that they needed him. Now is the time to invite them. And meals with Jesus on earth were a foretaste of this banquet that was to come. They were eating with the King. They were eating with the King of Kings. This banquet fellowship that we'll have with God in heaven. It's an important statement. Let me say it again. It bears repeating. Meals with Jesus on earth are foretastes of our heavenly banquet, because that, in fact, is the main point of our text this morning. It needs some explaining. Table fellowship. It's a constant theme of Jesus' ministry as he walked on earth. He ate and he drank with all kinds of people. He ate and sat at the dinner table with tax collectors, with sinners, with Pharisees, and with his disciples. Now, when we get to heaven, we're going to get new bodies, and we'll eat at the heavenly banquet. We'll be surrounded by people who walked here on earth, people who were once wicked, but now, and once disobeyed God's commandments, but now they're made perfect. Why will we be there, though? Why are you going to be at that heavenly banquet? You're broken today. You're steeped in sin today. You're disobedient today. We're there because Jesus shed his blood to make us worthy. That's what he did, so that he might invite us to his table. We're in table fellowship with the King of Kings, not because of something we deserve. Not, certainly not because of something we've done. We are in table fellowship with the King of Kings because we're saved by his blood. We don't have communion on our altar this morning. It's not a communion Sunday. But when we have communion fellowship, we are in communion with Jesus. We eat Jesus. We eat His body. We drink His blood. This is His meal. And He's not only the host, He's the food. He's the meal. And we eat His body and we drink His blood for the forgiveness of sins, and it's a fellowship. It's a table fellowship. And in doing so, we believers become connected to Him, joined to Him, fellowshipping with Him, one with Him, in fellowship with God, and thus being in fellowship with God, in oneness with God, we become one with one another. The body of Christ. Think about that. Isn't it amazing that on Communion Sundays, Christ comes to us and we actually touch God, become one with Him, right here at this altar, right here at this table. And we don't deserve that. We don't deserve to eat, period. We're sinners, or tax collectors, so to speak. The evil type of people, the outcasts. We should be excluded from this banquet of salvation, not included. We should not be welcome to come to this communion rail. Not only today, but for all eternity, excluded. So we deserve to be sent away forever to bed without a meal, like our parents punish us in the day. Nope, no meal, go to bed now. No family fellowship for you today. Except God should send us away forever. However, we're invited. Instead, we're welcomed. We are in fellowship with God and one another. Why? Because God, our Heavenly Father, sent His Son to die in our place, to bear our sins, to make the weak whole, to bind up that which is broken, to fix that which was not right. And our Father had a choice. He could exclude us from table fellowship, or He could exclude His Son. And God made the remarkable choice. He excluded His Son. He forsook Him on the cross, as Jesus said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? He excluded Jesus so that He might include you. And He includes you so that you might have a place, table fellowship with the Lord. Now, I realize some of you might be struggling with this whole thing. Some of you may be thinking, how can you talk about communion in our text when our text never mentions communion? Talks about Jesus eating and drinking with sinners. Well, if you think I'm misapplying the text by applying it to the Lord's Supper, let me remind you what our church fathers wrote in the Lutheran Confessions, Large Catechism, it's there, Formula Concord, it's there. And both of them apply this verse, these verses, to Holy Communion. So who is invited to dinner? Well, first of all, we have to ask, who's at the meal? And once again, it's Christ. Christ is the meal. Christ is here. He comes to us. He comes for us. He joins Himself with us in His body and His blood. His body, His blood, join our body and our blood. And there's a fellowship, a sharing, a commingling, a joining. He bore all our sins. He gave His life to save us. Jesus invites you. He invites sinners. Jesus said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Those who are sick do. Learn what this means. I want mercy, not sacrifices. I come to call sinners, not people who think they have God's approval. You know, listen how God invites sinners to come to Holy Communion. From our Formula Concord. The true and worthy guests, for whom the precious sacrament above all was instituted and established by Christ, are the Christians, who are weak. Weak in faith, fragile, and troubled, who are terrified in their hearts by the immensity and the number of their sins. They think they're not worthy of this precious treasure and the benefits of Christ because of their great impurity. They feel the weakness of their faith and they deplore it. They desire with all their heart to serve God with a stronger, more resolute faith and purer obedience. As Christ says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. The Pharisees immediately got upset when Jesus said those words. The Pharisees didn't understand why Jesus ate with bad people, sinners, tax collectors. The Pharisees thought God loved them, and the Pharisees thought God loved them because they were good people. They were obedient. They deserved God's love. The bad people, God hated them. They did not deserve God's love. They were bad people, disobedient. These Pharisees thought they were sinless. They didn't think they were sick. They didn't think they were broken. They didn't need a doctor. They didn't need Jesus and they didn't need his mercy. Do you? Are you a terrified sinner? Are you afraid to die because you don't know what's going to happen after you die? You don't know if God's going to be merciful to you or not. And you're not quite sure. Then you're invited. You're invited to come. We confess again in the formula of Concord, true and worthy guests aren't the Christians who are strong in faith. True and worthy Christians are the weak, the fragile, troubled people, not the sturdy and the comfortable ones, but people who are terrified in their hearts by the immensity and the number of their sins, not those who think their sins are not great or many, but those who know their sins are great and many. It is not for those who think they're worthy, but for those who know they're not. This, my friends, is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the proper fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus. These people are welcome to heaven. The ones who have been redeemed, the ones who have been healed by the blood of Christ, the ones who are welcome to feast. And they're invited to eat with him. However, not all are invited to Holy Communion. Now, there's a difference. Those who do not properly understand Holy Communion should not come to this table. Why? Because they're not in table fellowship. They're not saying the same thing. This is a meal of confession. This is what God says it is. It is this and it's not anything else. It is the fellowship of those who see the body and eat the body, who see the blood and drink the blood, who become one in fellowship with God. And they eat the body and they drink the blood for the forgiveness of their sins. Those who properly do not understand Holy Communion should not come to this table because they don't understand the table fellowship. In the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, we practice close communion. And we commune those who properly understand what's going on, who properly confess it with their mouths, and they believe what's happening scripturally. And they do it correctly by their own profession of what they believe. 1 Corinthians addresses this issue of table fellowship in 1 Corinthians 9 through chapter 11. And in it, it talks about the altar. So does the altar where you take communion preach that Jesus is really present in, with, and under the bread and the wine? Does it really teach that? Do they teach that in the bread and the wine are Jesus Christ's very own body and blood? Do they teach that forgiveness, healing happens here for broken people? Or do they teach something else? Do they have a different fellowship? A different teaching. Listen, true teaching is of God. False teaching is a lie, not of God. Do they teach that Jesus' body and blood are not really present? Do they teach that Jesus and his body is somewhere far off in heaven, distant but not close to you? Do they teach that Christ's body and blood is something that you need to do in faithfulness and devotion to God? You come, you be obedient, because God said so. And that's what Holy Communion is about, your obedience. Table fellowship matters. And what we believe matters. What we believe about this meal matters. And that's why the Holy Christian Church throughout all time has practiced close communion since the time of the apostles. Jesus really does come to us. He not only is the host of the meal, he is the meal itself. And if that's what you believe, then you should leave those other altars that don't teach the scriptural truth. Then you should come and find an altar and join that altar that gets things right. Now, am I saying that other Christians are unsaved? No, I'm not saying that at all. They believe in Jesus Christ. They're invited. Sinners are cleansed by the blood of Christ. But they're not in table fellowship with the Lord in regard to Holy Communion. Listen, this truth matters. It is here that the body and blood of Christ cleanses us from sin through the forgiving word. And Jesus says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I came to call not the righteous, but sinners. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.